You are now listening to a brand new episode of Starfleet Escape Podcast, only on the Four Eyed Radio Network, also known as the FUN!
Starfleet Escape Podcast. Prepare for launch in 3, 2, 1. Enjoy the ride.
Welcome to the Starfleet Escape Podcast on the Four-Eyed Radio Network, where we escape into the Star Trek universe. This is episode number 27, and is being recorded on August 20th and 22nd, 2013. Today's topic, Star Trek Las Vegas, Convention, and Dylan McCade. I'm Aaron.
I'm Marty.
And I'm Eric. This episode is brought to you by America Joy Print Shop, official sponsor of the Four-Eyed Radio Network. For high-quality business cards, flyers, banners, cut vinyl, and more, visit AmericaJoy.com.
Hey, guys. How are you today?
Doing pretty good. It's a little bit hot here in the city of Chicago.
Same thing in Boston.
Well, it was 84 earlier, so not as bad as our heat wave we had a couple weeks ago, but still kind of stuffy.
Yeah, no, I hear you.
I don't like it.
We're currently at 76 degrees, and it's almost 9 p.m. in Boston.
Yay. Hey, I love it. I love summer.
Not really. Yeah.
I'm sitting here melting.
It's as hot as the Vulcan Desert. I don't know.
True that.
I think it's a little hotter than that.
So it seems like it's been a while since we recorded, but it's only been 2 weeks, right?
Yeah. Well, it's clearly because you miss recording with all of us.
That's true. It most certainly is.
I don't believe you.
So. But yeah, so have you guys watched any Star Trek recently? Any new Star Trek? Not that it would be
There is no new Star Trek.
any
new Star Trek? Yes, I did. There's a new show that I created in my own mind.
How about any reruns?
No, haven't had the chance lately. I am watching something space related, but not Star Trek related.
I see. May I ask what that is?
Yeah, it's this anime called Space Brothers.
Okay.
And it's about two brothers who made a childhood promise that they would both go to the moon.
Mm-hmm.
And then it follows them when they're adults, and the younger brother is actually a Japanese astronaut, and he's ready to go to the moon, like he's preparing to go on his mission.
Mm-hmm.
And so now it's like the older brother, who's kind of my age, he's like 31, 32, and he kind of lost his vision, his goal about going to the moon, and now it's about his journey to become an astronaut. And it's really cool. It takes place in 2025, so a little bit into the future to, you know, where the timeline would fit if we were to go back to the moon and have a moon base.
Right.
So it's pretty cool. I'm up to like episode 48.
Okay.
And I've been watching it for like a month. I've been like diving into this series, so it's pretty good.
That's cool. I've I've been watching this. It's an older series called Jupiter Moon. It's a British series from the 90s, and it's honestly terrible. But
so why are you watching it?
Because it's science fiction.
Oh, okay.
For the most part,
science fiction does not require you to watch it.
No, but I thought the original concept was interesting because it takes place on this space station that orbits Jupiter, and there's a college on this station.
Okay.
But the basic premise is it's kind of like a soap opera in space.
Oh, I see.
That's pretty much what it is. And I was watching.
Where are you watching it? Like, what platform?
It's on Hulu.
Oh, okay.
And I watched a bunch of episodes. I think it was 32 episodes. And then Hulu didn't have any more of the episodes. And I was like, oh, it must be over. Then I looked online and I read up on it. And it turns out it wasn't over yet. Hulu just didn't have the rest of the episodes.
Oh, okay.
So recently, Hulu, I think, got the rest of the series in its catalog now. So I'm watching the rest of it. It's been about a year since the last time I watched it.
Oh, yeah. For some British shows, they do that. Like, they wait to get caught up on, like, either the new season, or they just add more episodes to older shows so they can, like, keep the content fresh, right. I guess. It's happened to a couple shows I've watched on Hulu.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's interesting. It's cheesy.
Very campy.
Very. But it's not too bad. It's all right.
Okay.
How about you, Marty? Have you seen any sci-fi at all?
If you consider Airplane 2 to be sci-fi.
I do.
Yeah, because Chad is in it.
Yeah.
I watched... Do you guys remember the show V?
Yes.
Not the new one, the original.
Yeah, yes.
It's on Netflix. Still, yes. Yeah, it's on Netflix. We were watching that.
That's cool.
Nice. You know who's in that that's hilarious? Is the guy who played Freddy Krueger, Robert Englund.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
He was one of the main characters, too.
Yeah.
That's been going on. Nothing really. I haven't had a lot of time to watch much. Me and the wife are searching for homes.
Very cool.
Not in outer space, but...
Oh, man.
No moon base apartment.
Moon base Hogan, no.
A moon base in the
that
sky.
Could be a, that, be, that could be a good TV show. Moon base Hogan.
Hogan!
So this is going to be an interesting episode. We're recording part of it tonight on the 20th, and the next part of the episode will be interviews.
Oh, okay.
We're not going to be going until 1 a.m., are we?
No.
That's why we're recording now.
That's why we're breaking up into two to get the most out of it.
And through the flawless editing skills of Aaron Gallo, it'll be a seamless episode.
Aaron!
True that. The last one was pretty good, right?
Oh my, I couldn't tell that we recorded it like a week apart.
Yeah.
Oh, I mean, we didn't. That was all us.
So you're not supposed to break the third wall here. You're not supposed to tell people these things.
Isn't that the fourth wall?
No, it's the third.
That was sixth. Yep. No, I don't know what I'm talking about. So let's break into the news.
No snooze is good snooze.
So, Star Trek The Next Generation, the fifth season, and Star Trek The Next Generation Unification will arrive on Blu-ray on November 19th, which is awesome.
I'm excited.
I am mad because Fathom Events did not do a fourth season celebration like they did for the first three seasons. And I was wondering, I'm like, okay, what's going on? I actually tweeted to them, like, hey, are you guys planning to do something for the fifth season when it comes out, or, you know, the fourth or anything?
Mm-hmm. What are you doing?
But they have yet to respond, so please, Fathom Events, do another Star Trek Next Generation, because I'd love to see Unification on the big screen, or even for the fourth season, I would have loved to seen Redemption with Worf
and
the whole Klingon homeworld. So I don't know what they're doing. They should take care of that.
Most definitely. I actually, it slipped my mind completely that they didn't do one. But now that you mentioned it, why the heck not?
I know.
Man. Goodbye, Aaron.
And,
God.
And basically these events are commercials for the Blu-rays anyway, because they're like, look at the bloopers and look at the special features and here's what's coming next time. So I don't know why they didn't do it.
Next time on Star Trek.
Unless they were worried about it cutting in on like the big summer blockbuster releases.
No, that's BS. I mean, because they do these on, like, Thursday nights anyway, and no one's at the theaters. So I don't know why they wouldn't do it. So please, if anyone from Fathom Events is listening, which they won't be, but give us more Next Generation in the theaters.
True that.
Wow.
So this next... None of us, all three of us have played Star Trek games, but I don't think any of us have played Star Trek Online, right? Am I correct?
No, I haven't.
But Star Trek Online has added a brand new Romulan temporal ship to the game.
I saw this.
The Remor temporal science vessel. And it's available for the Romulan Republic players to win as the grand prize in the temporal lockbox in the Mirror Universe. Tal'Vath temporal destroyer is available for the Romulan Republic players to purchase.
That must be like a derivative of Tal Shiar.
Interesting.
Yeah, that's
this ship looks really cool. I'm looking at it now.
Mm-hmm.
It kind of reminds me of the time ship from Voyager, the Relativity,
because
it also had similar
like kind
of holes and curves cut out.
Yeah.
So I wonder if that's some kind of temporal design. That's interesting. These ships look really cool.
Yeah, no, they do look very cool. And I guess in the game they also have Federation and Klingon temporal vessels.
So they probably have a Relativity ship.
Yeah, yeah.
Nice.
So I haven't seen I don't know what the Klingon temporal vessels look like. If anyone does, let us know.
If anyone's played the game, give us your comments on these new ships. I think that'd be cool.
Yeah, and tell us why you play. Give us a reason to play. Maybe we can jump in and play with you guys.
Cool. Yeah, I'm always willing to give great Star Trek games a shot.
Totally. So, and this has been around for this has been around for a while. And it's free to play now. So I guess there's no real excuse why we shouldn't be playing it.
We're hardworking individuals, Aaron. We barely have any time.
That's very true. So this next little piece is kind of like a self-promotion kind of thing.
Is it shameless self-promotion?
Yes.
It's totally shameless, but
what damn better
it,
type?
Aaron deserves it.
So WeLoveFine.com Star Trek contest has opened for voting, and I have two designs out there. One is called Captain, and one is called the Edic, IDIC, and I'll have the links available in the show notes. But if you could rate them a 5, that'll be awesome. All you have to do is set up a free account.
Because less than 5 doesn't matter.
Well, please give me a 5.
yeah, please. that's kind of what counts.
If you can, that'll be awesome. If not...
And I think people should sign up for the site anyway, because they have a ton of great Star Trek shirts.
Mm-hmm.
They've got a ton of great designs for, like, the Marvel Universe, for a whole bunch of different comic book and sci-fi shows. And it's a really great site. They have really good customer service, and they have a lot of cool products. So, but right now, help Aaron get his designs made into a cool Star Trek shirt.
Yeah, because I know I want to wear these designs.
I know I do.
I'm sure you will too. So, please give me a vote.
Please give me a vote.
And I will bother you again with it in the next show, most likely, because the voting will probably still be going on. We'll see.
Yeah, they usually run for a month. So.
Yeah.
So you guys have some time, but don't wait. Act now.
Exactly.
Act now.
Operators are standing by.
And they are, totally.
Totally.
Vegas fans beat the Guinness World Record for the most number of people in one place in Star Trek costumes.
Woohoo!
1,085, including DS9's Terry Farrell.
Who I heard dressed up in an original series outfit. So
yes, I've seen pictures. So, that was pretty cool for her to do.
And congrats to all the fans who were able to participate in that. That sounds really fun.
Yeah, we'll have to ask our guests if they partook in this.
Partook.
Partaken?
No.
Partook.
Oh,
did you partake? If they partake in it, you don't say partaked. You say partake.
Partooken?
No.
Hey, good looking. What you got, partooken?
Partooken.
So they beat it, and they beat out the London one, I believe it. So we brought it back to the States. So yeah, that's what's important.
USA. USA. Oh, okay.
USA.
This next piece of information is interesting.
Piece of mission?
George Takei will be the Grand Marshal for this year's Oktoberfest Cincinnati.
Cincinnati.
Cincinnati, yeah.
Yeah.
Which takes place in Cincinnati, Ohio, beginning Friday, September 20th, and running through Sunday, September 22nd.
Wow. They said that as Grand Marshal, Takei will lead downtown Cincinnati celebration in the traditional chicken dance. Good Lord.
Oh, man. I hope someone takes a video.
So if you want to see Sulu do the chicken dance, I guess go to Cincinnati in October or September.
What day is it? September 20th through the 22nd.
You want to go, Aaron?
No, not particularly.
Why not? It's a lot of beer.
I can get beer here in Boston.
Do you leave your cave anymore?
I do on occasion. So this next part is actually kind of cool. Star Trek Into Darkness is now available for digital download starting today.
Wait, what?
What?
August 20th.
Today. What?
You can download.
Download it.
Star Trek Into Darkness.
I don't know what you just blew my mind.
What?
How much? How much is it?
Oh, good question. I don't know.
Where do I sign up?
Apple.
Aaron, you had one job.
iTunes.
Sorry.
Maybe I'll just look that up right now.
Yeah.
You try to download it, it's going to be like, you'll stop this whole thing.
Oh, I'm not going to download it. Are you crazy? Where do I buy this?
I know Best Buy, you could buy it.
Oh, it's iTunes.
Oh, iTunes.
Oh, wait. Star Trek Into Darkness gets early release on iTunes with a bundle deal.
Ah, I see.
The film is available in HD for $20, in standard definition for $15, or as $25 HD bundle with the prior Star Trek film.
Huh.
There is no rental option. Rentals will be available September 10th.
I see. And that's when it comes out, I believe.
Where's it out today?
You can download it today.
From where?
I don't know. Well, I know someone I follow online.
Apparently not.
Tristan, actually. He bought it, or he pre-ordered it from Best Buy and was able to download it through Best Buy's, Cine thing that they have.
Cineflex or Cine whatever.
Yeah, so he was watching it, I think, at work today.
That's great. Let's watch it at work. What?
Instant Video Amazon, you can buy it right now for $15.
Really?
In HD.
Oh,
so that is nice.
But anywho, it's available for download. If you want it now, go find it. Download.
I actually do want to watch it. No. So I'll see you guys later. Bye. No, I'm kidding.
Killed the whole
podcast down.
Podcast
so, continuing with our Star Trek Into Darkness news. Fans with a smart glass enhanced tablet or phone can access additional exclusive behind the scenes material, including FX scene peelers, concept art, etc. All the time synced to Star Trek Into Darkness. So this is with the Xbox smart glass app. So you would need to be watching it on your Xbox in order for this to work.
Ah, I see.
But it looks pretty cool, and I do have an Xbox, and I do have a smart glass app. Cool. So some of these things are cool. Like you'll be able to see the station that the Vengeance was being built in.
Like the whole night?
Well, you'll be able to. I can't say yes for sure, but you can see a whole picture of it on the Star Trek website, which is a screen cap, I'm guessing, of it from the app. And you can see, like, all that red forest from the opening scene, character bios, it looks like. So, yeah, it looks pretty awesome.
Sweet.
And next, I don't know if you guys have ever heard of this, but My Fantastic Park, a free-to-play in-browser game, is adding Star Trek The Next Generation attractions to its amusement park management sim.
Really?
Yeah, I've actually never heard of this game before, but it's kind of cool that they let you add in different things. From the pictures I've seen, you could add in, like, bridge features from the Enterprise D. Let's see, what else? You could add in a Borg cube, it looks like. Some Klingon items, it looks like. Looks like even the Enterprise D itself in a shuttlecraft. So it's pretty cool.
Oh, this is gonna be awesome.
Yeah. If Sims are your kind of thing, give this a shot. It's free to play in browser, like I mentioned. So give it a shot.
Why not?
Why not? And next, our very own Eric Berry is gonna be co-hosting with Dr. Sci-Fi to talk about the Power Rangers. Would you like to...
Oh, yeah. So we recorded this, me and Darren, a.k.a. Dr. Sci-Fi, we recorded this episode last night on the 19th, and it's great. I didn't realize he was such a big Power Rangers fan himself.
Hmm.
It was a great discussion. We talked a lot about, you know, what makes Power Rangers sci-fi. We talked about, you know, some of the seasons, and it's all for the 20th anniversary, which is August 28th. And uh-huh. It's actually going to be released on September 6th, which is a day before new episodes of the current season come back on the air.
And so, very, very close to Star Trek's birthday.
Yes, indeed. So it's all related somehow.
Somehow, some way is related.
So yeah, again, you know, thanks to Dr. Sci-Fi. You guys should really check out his podcast. He's got some really great episodes that deal with all forms of sci-fi.
Yeah, definitely. We'll put a link to your episode, the Power Rangers episode, on our website once it comes out.
All right, cool.
To spread the word a little bit more. So next are, it's one of my favorite sections of the show, the Would You Buy It?
I love Would You Buy It.
I would buy anything.
So this next thing, I am so very, very, very tempted to buy because it's from one of my most favorite Star Trek movies.
Most favorite.
Which Listen would Hogan. Be?
Most favoritest.
So this is the Voyage Home era Bird of Prey.
Yeah.
Designed and sculpted by Art Asylum. It measures 19 inches by 12 inches and features the words HMS Bounty written on the landing gear and boasts dialogue and sounds from Star Trek IV.
Okay, this is seriously cool.
It is, isn't it very cool?
It is very awesome. First of all, because I've never seen a toy Bird of Prey with the landing gear down.
Exactly. I've never seen that either.
And it looks like they can fold up into the ship.
Yeah, exactly. That's what makes me really want to get this, because I have all sorts of Bird of Preys around. I've mentioned before in other shows that the Bird of Prey is my favorite ship design, the mm-hmm. Klingon Bird of Prey. So I have several of these laying around my apartment here, and I'm very tempted to make this an addition.
I totally would. I have a couple of the Art Asylum ships that they've done over the years, and their quality is awesome.
Mm-hmm.
I love the sounds and dialogue that they're able to put into these. So for a Would You Buy It for me, if I had the room, I would totally buy this.
Yeah, Marty?
And I know, Aaron, you're going to buy it. So.
Yeah, totally.
It's a matter of time.
Yes, yeah. I would actually buy it, too, because I like that movie. I liked a lot.
Yeah, and like you mentioned, Eric, having this landing gear makes it so unique compared to any of the other ones that are out there.
And plus, that means instead of like hanging it from the ceiling, you could just put it on your desk
Right.
and without an extra stand or anything like that. So that it's really neat. It's really cool.
Yeah, and I really like the touch of having the name written on it, just like in the
Definitely.
movie. I mean,
Or
that's
it's kind
really
of like
cool.
spray painted on.
Yeah, exactly. That's really cool. I'll have a picture of this in the show notes for everyone to look at. But yeah, definitely get this when it comes out. I'm not exactly sure when it comes out. I think fairly soon, sometime this fall, it will be coming out.
Right.
Next up, we have some interviews for you. So to start, we have David, who goes by at Sci-Fi Commons on Twitter.
Hello.
Next, we have Amy, who goes by at AmyH70.
Hello.
And finally, we have Rachel, who goes by at Borg_RNL.
Hey.
And today we're going to talk about
Stopping things.
the Adventures of Space Sheriff Dylan McCaid.
Abe. McCaid. The Adventures of Space Marshal Dylan
Space
McCaid.
Marshal.
I was waiting for
Oh,
you.
my epic fail.
Did you say sheriff?
Oh, yeah, God, I've totally listened to that.
I know, right?
I've been meaning to. I've just been so busy this week. This has been the
Yeah,
week from hell for me.
there's no excuse. It's so
There is
short. You can
excuse.
like switch
I listened
pop it
to
in
tonight.
between things.
You
I
never
listened
sent
to
me a
tonight
link.
in one chunk.
Oh.
What's my excuse? You never sent me a
Google.
link.
I'll get right on that.
Google the damn thing.
So it's about a half an hour runtime, and you are able to download the episodes if you go to scificommons.com/McCaid.
Yep, six episodes that, altogether last about half an hour.
Awesome. And this was originally a Captain Proton story.
Yep, the author Dayton Ward writes Star Trek stuff, and he had this Space Marshal Dylan McCaid story was a Captain Proton. Last year, I reached out to him to see if he was interested in participating in some way by writing something for us, and he said, sure, but he wasn't sure if he had time to write something, but maybe I've got something that we could use. And he sent me this Captain Proton story, and I read it, and it's like, oh my gosh, this is like perfect. This is exactly what we're looking for. And we just had to de-Star Trek it. And he went through and took all the Star Trek references out and changed them, created the characters and new situation, and sent it back to me, and it was, I think, perfect. And then we just went through and adapted the story into an audio play. And Dayton and I went back and forth a few times to make revisions and got it to a place where we were ready to just record. Pretty cool.
And most of you recorded locally, but some of you recorded remotely.
Yep, we've got four of us locally. We're recording in the recording studio at the University of Washington. Two people, we've got Kenneth Robert Marlowe, who played the president of the League of Planets, who recorded from his home studio, and Gino Younger, who is the narrator, recorded in his home studio. So after we had all the dialogue that we ran through at the recording studio was the main characters. So we had Dylan McCaid, Jax, Empress Entropia, and then Zahn was also in the room. And we recorded all those together, and then I was just kind of filling in extra dialogue, and those were, the things that got farmed out. And then also I added in the a lot of background characters, which is why all of Entropia's minions sound like me. But yeah, it was a lot of fun. It was pretty cool having everybody together doing something neat like that.
I see.
Just a bunch of friends, not really. The guys remotely were, I mean, they're pros. They had good equipment, and we were just kind of winging it and having fun.
And Amy, you did the sound effects?
I did, yes. You want to go in more detail? Yeah, it was not something I'd ever done before, so it was a learning process for me too, and involved doing things like building my own contact mics and getting field recording equipment and gathering sounds and trying to find things that sounded like what Dave was looking for, you know, to fit in. And we had about, I think, 60 or so different sounds, at least, that we were putting in there. So the stuff that I didn't capture, we used a Creative Commons found music. So mm-hmm. in keeping with our whole point of doing Creative Commons work.
That's something we should mention, that the Dylan McCade itself now is in Creative Commons. So it's published on SoundCloud, but anybody can download the episodes and put them in podcasts or put them on their iPods or whatever. It's out there. That's what we're about, right, Amy?
Yes.
Maybe I've heard through the grapevine that you like building things.
Yeah, I'm a little obsessed about building things.
Yeah. So you were the one. You said the contact mics. How hard was that?
Well, it involved a little bit of electronics, but it's basically using piezo elements and some XLR pieces and soldering things together.
I think she's trying to say it was very hard.
Yeah.
on a scale from Dave to Amy, it's an Amy.
Amy, yeah. Yeah, I would have burned my hand off trying to do something like that. I used to do soldering from time to time, and I burned myself every single time.
Yeah, I actually have been enjoying it quite a bit, and we're getting ready to build some lipstick condenser microphones, some omnidirectional ones that we'll be using in some of our recording for this next series that we're going to be working on.
Awesome. I actually like the premise for the next episode that you'll be doing, the moon.
Oh, not that one. That's a...
Oh, okay. Oh, okay.
But isn't that great? So
I'm spilling the beans about something else.
Oh, I see.
Well, I spilled the beans on Twitter, and I was hoping you were going to tell me what I said, but because I can't remember. But our next project is Starward Frontier, which is it's about the early days of colonizing off-world planets. So there's a lot to flesh out in that. But what you were talking about was at the end of Space Marshal Dylan McCade, the case of the runaway moon or the it was so cool. I mean, when I read that, what Dayton had written, I mean, it just brings to mind Space 1999. Mm-hmm. And it's like, oh man, that would be so awesome. I would love to do another run of Space Marshal McCade with that. I would love for Dayton to write another set for us. I think that would be a blast.
I think that would be really cool. I really loved what you guys did with the first series, and I hope we get to see more in the future.
Thank you. Me too.
Thank you. That's good to hear.
Amy, I've missed your face.
Having a bit of Star Trek Las Vegas withdrawals here, so.
Yeah. Post-con blues.
Yeah.
Yeah, so Amy, me, and Rachel there. What's her name there? Was
What's her name? That girl.
That girl.
I almost what's called you Borg Arenel.
Wow.
What would you guys say would be the hardest part that you had to do when making the McCade series?
The hardest thing?
Yeah.
The hardest thing, and this, I'm going to say the hardest thing was actually doing it. And truthfully, that really, for me, was, you know, we had everything together, and for a long time, I just kind of picked at it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it wasn't until Amy and I, you know, both got together, and she really went through and got all the sounds, and we had the deadline looming, and it was like, okay, we just got to do this now. Mm-hmm. And that was the hard part. The next hardest thing I would say was kind of organizing everything. Mm-hmm. You know, finding people to participate, finding the equipment, you know, getting everybody together, adjusting schedules.
Organizing the sounds too, which is something I'll probably do a little bit better this next time around.
Yeah. Learning the new application, we did this in Adobe Audition, and that was a bit of a learning curve for me. I'd used Audacity and some other audio tools from Adobe in the past, but you know, kind of, we really dove in head first on this one, and but the fun part, and I think it's hard, but mixing all the sounds and putting it all together was so much fun. Like, you know, you get a sound that you know, it's named for what it was, like drill.
Mm-hmm.
And you bring it in and slow it down and, you know, add echo and then layer things on top of it. I mean, doing the robots and stuff were so much fun. It was, you just kind of get in the groove and you could lose.
Doom Sentinels.
Yes. Sentinels. They were too fun. And it's the type of thing you could spend, I could have spent, you know, a whole year in there just adding sounds and tweaking things. So in a way, I was really glad that we had that deadline to say, okay, that's done enough. That's good.
Yeah.
Moving on.
Yeah, without that, you wouldn't be motivated to be a work in progress, right? Forever.
Forever.
Yeah. Keep trying to perfect it.
Perfectionist.
And that's one of the things that we're changing for the next project is that, you know, we'll have shorter deadlines. We'll arrange, you know, we're creating a library of audio sounds that Amy's, you know, working on. Hopefully, we haven't talked about it, but I hope you'll do some recording in Hawaii.
I was thinking of it.
Cool. Yeah.
So, will your next project be in the same vein of like 1930s radio drama, or are you doing something completely different for the next
one? Nope. We're going to do this one straight. It's, I think if we made it as cinematic as possible, like almost like you're listening to Avatar or, you know, Star Wars, something that really, you know, I want it to be real. I want people to listen to it and think, man, that's really cool. I'd love to be there or, you know, totally get into the action.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's going to be hard. You know, listening to audiobooks or audio plays, there's always that bit of cheese in there that it's like, gosh, I'm just not quite buying it. I really would like to try. I'm painting myself into a corner if I can't achieve it. But I think we can do something amazing. And, you know, we've got the people, we've got the tools. We should be able to do it. We just need the audience.
Well, hopefully you get a huge
audience.
Like
you're looking at me.
Stop spreading the word.
Yeah, I thought these were a lot of fun, especially the product placements at the beginning of the episodes. It really takes you back to those old school radio dramas.
Icy Pops. And Gino did such a great job
as the
narrator, right? He was perfect.
Yeah, he is the perfect voice for that.
Yeah.
It was so much fun working with him. So when I first contacted him, I think he knew what we were looking for. And we spent just a couple minutes, maybe 10 minutes on the phone, him trying out a couple of voices and me giving a little bit of direction, you know, a little less cheesy, a little more over the top, you know, and within 10 minutes he nailed it. And I was like, that's it. Go for it. You know, and he recorded all of them and sent them to us. And it was so much fun. Like opening presents on Christmas, you know, it's like, oh, we got one. Oh my gosh, this is awesome. It was so, exactly what I wanted.
That's cheesy. How about
I know.
That is so corny.
That's me.
So all three of you went to the Vegas convention this year.
We don't remember any of it.
I was going to say, I believe so.
But I think Twitter has it documented for us.
I think we were in Vegas.
So
there are some, like, Hangover
Star Trek Las Vegas. Yeah, I was going to say, have you ever seen the movie The Hangover?
Yeah.
Like Star Trek
it wasn't even Star Trek the Drunk. It wasn't even The Hangover. There wasn't even time for Hangover. It was like we woke up. Hey, are we drinking yet? Like, let's make it to room 1017. So many memories in room 1017.
1017. 1017, huh?
Sounds like 10 forward.
Yeah.
Appropriately, which is where all the drinks were. So
yeah, there's It was Party Central. And yeah. Just think, there was probably groups like us having Party Central all over the place.
It was great. I love that within the first, 20 minutes of us just meeting and, sitting down and having Burger King, and then we walked around to find a liquor store. We didn't even give a shit about the panels that night.
There were panels?
Yeah, I don't
Thursday.
Know.
Wow.
Now, have all of you guys been to the Star Trek Las Vegas convention before?
It was my first time.
It was my first time, too.
I had been one other time 2 years ago. That was when I got Jim Beam to send me. I did a Jim Beam Me Up campaign, and Jim Beam Bourbon sent me to the Star Trek convention.
Wow.
That's awesome.
That was really cool. But
this
time, from that one,
yeah.
I remember thinking, okay, Jim Beam sent me. I hope that when I open this hotel room, there's going to be a coffee table full of booze. And I open the hotel room, it's like, oh, dang it.
But the drinking theme continues.
You and I and Eric need to go to this.
Uh-huh. Luckily, happens in Vegas ends up on Twitter, so we
exactly.
all remember a little bit.
Documentation.
Well, that's actually how most divorce lawyers keep in business. Now, I saw you create this poster with all your Twitter friends that went to the convention.
Yeah, that was really cool. You know, one of the things about Twitter is it's so social, and I knew there were people that we were going to see down there, and I knew that I had a list on Twitter, but to actually, and I didn't expect this, but when I put them all in on the sheet of paper with their photos and names, and you print it out and look at it, it's like, oh my God, I'm going to meet all these people. These are people that I know on Twitter. And it was so much fun hunting them down and getting them to sign and meeting people that, you know, you wouldn't normally meet while you were down at a place like that.
Yeah.
It was exciting, wasn't it?
It really was wandering around just finding people.
I noticed you had Mike Okuda on there.
Yeah.
So what was it like meeting him?
You know, it was great.
It was surreal.
He followed the way you got on the poster was if you followed me and I followed you, and he follows me, but we're not really chummy on Twitter. So it was like he's still kind of a celebrity. Well, he's a celebrity, and it's like, how am I gonna go up there? He's gonna think I'm a moron or something. And he was standing next to Larry Nemechek, who's also on the poster. And I walk up to him. It's like, oh, thank God, he's standing there. I can ask him, and it won't be weird. And I said, hey, Mike, I'm a big fan. And then Larry goes, oh, well, that's original. Thanks, Larry. but he signed. And
I love Larry. I love Larry.
I do too.
He's hilarious.
Hilarious. So, Mike, for me, I was a graphic designer for years and years. And when I first got into that business, I was into Star Trek, and I think Deep Space Nine was really going strong then. And Mike Okuda's designs were a huge impact on me. I mean, my early graphics looked like, something Mike Okuda would have done. But we also did a lot of work for Microsoft, so it slowly turned into everything I did looked like Microsoft. But, copying what he did really, it was a big deal for me to meet him. And I don't think he quite got that, but he was a big influence. Larry, well, that was original. I am a big fan.
Well, I mean, I'm a graphic designer too, and you're right. Mike Okuda is like the designer of Star Trek. He's one of the greats, and I think it's so cool that you got to meet him. That's pretty awesome.
It was really cool.
We met a lot of really cool people, I think. Even just other fans, meeting other fans and mingling and people that I would not know otherwise, just chatting with anybody was awesome. You could walk up to anyone there and just start a conversation. It was so much fun.
That's the thing about – go ahead.
I was going to say that's what I'm looking forward to if I ever go, if I ever have the chance. Mm-hmm. But those type of things, even being on our show – Mm-hmm. We've met a couple of people. We met Eric. It's just something I like to do, and you know, it's all about the community pot, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So many people are involved in this stuff. It's nice.
It's awesome. I think I actually enjoyed meeting other fans more than I enjoyed meeting famous people.
Yeah.
Like, you know, the famous people, it was really cool to meet and talk to and mingle with these people, but it was even more fun to experience it with other fans, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like more so at a Star Trek convention than at like a regular Comic-Con, where the people that are into Star Trek, the majority of them, you know, the Gene Roddenberry philosophy, it really registers with them. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And, you know, the being accepting and being open and being inclusive, I think you have a whole group of people that are trying to be inclusive and trying to live that way. It just makes for a really great time, especially when you add alcohol and that stuff.
Oh,
like
God.
That.
Wow. Except for when you lost me in the vendor's room and I couldn't find you. That was bad. Dave was supposed to be my babysitter. He was so bad at that.
So for those of us who've never been, how big is this convention? How many people would you say? Is it pretty packed?
Yeah.
It depends on what day you're going as well, because, you know, Thursday is the first day and not a whole lot of people there. Friday, there were significantly more people. Saturday was huge. And then I think Sunday was kind of
tapered off.
Yeah, so it started to taper off. There were still a lot of people there, but like Saturday was definitely the big day. I think Friday and Saturday both.
I want to say like
I've noticed
10.
That. I think we both think at the same time. I think to be quite honest, most conventions are that way though. The Friday Saturday thing is the huge piece.
Yeah.
Is that,
yeah.
You know.
Well, and then on Saturday, you probably get locals showing up as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it was really cool. Like, you could just walk around the hotel and run into people. Like, who was it? Oh, God, that we were in the elevator with, Dave.
Oh, the guy who played Nog. I can't remember his name.
Whatever his name was.
Aaron Eisenberg.
Yes.
And I totally didn't recognize him, and it was totally embarrassing because I was definitely drunk and, like, just rambling on about not knowing anyone that I've met the entire time, and Dave's like, stop talking.
I didn't recognize him either, and people are, like, saying hi to him, and it's like, oh, hi, do I know you? You know, and I introduced myself thinking he's just, like, a Twitter guy.
Oh. Yeah, it was so embarrassing. And then, like,
that could be bad.
They have the vendors room set up, and that's just like this big area where there's just celebrities have their booths, and then they'll walk around and stuff. And like Brent Spiner, I swear to God, was following me around the vendors room one day, like when no one else was around, but I kept walking up to like different booths and he would just appear next to me and I'd be like hyperventilating, like, oh my God, Brent Spiner's standing next to me, like, what do I do? And then I'd like freak out and like walk away and he'd be there again. I'm like, oh my God, Brent Spiner's following me around here. I can't handle this right now.
It sounds like a good problem to have though.
I know.
Did any of you participate in the costume record?
I was going to, but I was informed by someone that they're like really strict on their rules. So like you have to have the right shoes and everything because it's a Guinness World Record thing. So I was going to walk down there and try, but honestly, that hotel is huge and my legs hurt. It's like a block just to walk from one side of the hotel to the other.
Wow. Well, did you guys actually witness the costume record taking place, or?
You know, there were so many pictures being tweeted from it that you could just like follow Twitter and just see it happening.
But you could see like it just wandering around, so many people in costume. I know I posted a picture that Dave had taken of me with a couple of women that were dressed up. There was like the Borg Queen and Kira and someone else. The Kira costume was amazing.
Yep.
There's so many people that worked so hard on their costumes, and you could just really tell that they definitely put time and effort into that.
That was incredible, actually. That was one of my favorite parts of the whole thing, was just seeing all of the amazing costumes.
Well, yeah, and that they put that effort into it, and they're just fans just like us too, you know, and it was a lot of fun. It was really cool to see all that. I want to cosplay next year.
Yes. You should totally do that.
What would you go be? As?
Yeah.
I don't know. So you guys will have to come up with something good for me. We'll have to put that as like a poll online.
There you go.
Like, what should Rachel go as?
Only if you promise that you do whatever the results are.
Oh, God.
Oh,
I'm going to have Dave in there filling in options.
Orion's.
Green girl. Orion's. Orion's. How many times can you vote in a day?
So, yeah, Vegas, that was a fun time. There were actually some really cool panels, some really cool ones. I know that Dave and Amy went to ones that I didn't go to. I wanted to go to that makeup demonstration one. They didn't make it over to that one.
That was really cool.
So what panels did you guys go to?
I saw the Voyager panel, I think was the first one that I went to, that had Tim Russ, Garrett Wang,
Robert Picardo,
and
Eric knows them all.
And who else was there? Someone else was there.
Beltran.
Oh, the guy who played Neelix. What is his name? It's killing me. Ethan Phillips. Ethan Phillips. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
They all four were there, and that was the first one that I went to, and honestly, probably the best one. Those guys, those four, are hilarious. They were just telling funny stories, and you know, they go up there and you expect them to just talk and answer fan questions, and like you're just hoping that they're not going to be those horrible, miserable celebrities that just come in and like do their thing and then leave, which is kind of what I just expected for most of it. But at the Voyager panel, they were like really, I don't know, they didn't even talk about the show as much as like behind the scenes stuff, which I loved. Like they were telling you like funny stories, and apparently Garrett Wang almost didn't get the part, and I guess Robert Picardo had been interviewed for, or he had auditioned for Neelix, and Ethan Phillips had auditioned for the Doctor.
That would be
and
interesting.
Each of them wanted the opposite part. They preferred the opposite part than what they got. Like Ethan Phillips wanted to be the Doctor. He preferred that one. And Robert Picardo said that he wanted to be Neelix. They didn't like the other parts that they had auditioned for.
I couldn't imagine it the other way.
Really? I know. Like, yeah, it wouldn't that be weird?
Yeah.
They said that they preferred the opposite ones, but they worked better in the roles that they were in. Robert Picardo, he had said that he had gotten the part because he basically just ad-libbed during the audition. I can't remember what he said. There was two different little stories that he told, and one of them was when he's left on, the hologram is left on and everyone's left the room, and he's supposed to say something along the lines of somewhat, they must have forgotten me or something like that. And he just ad-libbed during the audition, damn it, I'm a doctor, not a nightlight. And he got the job from that. Because they love that that Robert Picardo kind of made the Doctor sassy a little bit. And so apparently a lot of his lines are actually ad-libbed, and I think that's pretty cool.
I'm a doctor, not a doorstop.
Exactly.
So any other cool panels?
I think and Dave, I think you'll back me up on this. I think Carl Urban pretty much blew people away. I don't know if too many people were expecting, you know, what ended up happening during that panel, but I think he made a ton of fans in that room that day. I think maybe people that aren't into the new series may now be into the new series because of him. He was pretty incredible. He, you know, when he got the part, he said that he got the whole box set for the original series and sat down with his son and watched every single episode from the original series with his kid. And I thought that was like awesome. So he's not even just an actor in the new series. He's a total fan, which is great.
And it totally shows in the movies too.
Yeah. He's actually one of my favorite parts in the whole new series.
Yeah.
You know, I loved him as McCoy, and seeing him talk, I mean, he won me over as a fan. I like the new movies, but I mean, I am a fan of, I'm a Carl Urban fan. I want him to succeed in.
Yeah, he's got a new series coming out. There's a new J.J. Abrams series coming out called Almost Human, which hopefully will be really good. It looks interesting that he's going to be in that. So worth checking out.
Yeah, and it's good that J.J. Abrams like to keep working with the same actors. So hopefully we see more of Carl Urban.
I heard he's going to be the new spirit Obi-Wan Kenobi. Anyway, no, just kidding.
You know, I know you're kidding.
Rumors,
but,
this is how rumors get started.
I would love that.
I would love to see him as a bad guy in one of those movies.
That would be so fun.
Because he actually, you know, not to get off the subject of that, but he actually is one of the better actors I see in this time period. And he can play good or bad and make it really good
either way. I completely agree with you.
I totally agree as well.
Yeah,
he's Judge Dredd. He played
he's
a
the
really
head
awesome...
vampire and priest.
Yeah.
He is the head bad guy in Chronicles
in the Pitch
of Riddick.
Black. Yeah, Riddick.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
He's
yeah.
coming. He's in that movie coming out soon, too.
The new one.
The new Riddick movie?
Yeah, yeah, he's going to be in
sweet.
The sequel. Yeah.
Maybe
I'm
I
actually looking
to
forward to that
it.
One. I just saw the the preview for it recently, and I was like, "Oh yeah, this
but
is."
But he was really good in that one too, and it was before Star Trek, and I didn't know who the hell he was. Nobody did, and then he's got all these roles now.
This just became the Carl Urban podcast.
He made
Carl
fans.
He did. Yeah. He made fans. He was witty and just like won everybody over. He had great stories to tell about the hazing that went on when he came on board. And it was a lot of fun listening to him talk. He was very charismatic.
The other thing about him is he pulls into it. Like, I thought originally when I saw him in Star Trek, it was, he was doing a reincarnation of the old McCoy in a way. Uh-huh. And really it isn't, because when you see him in those other movies, he's like that. That's part of his
charm.
Charm. Yeah.
I was going to say shtick.
Schnick is another word for it.
Well, his one repertoire. Of the other things that I liked about the some of the panels where they're not just people up there talking and telling their stories, where they're trying to entertain. And I think that's one of the things that all these panels, you know, have in common. They're not just talking and answering questions. They're trying to put on a show and put on a show for us. And
that's the point I was trying to make earlier. Like, they got really into it. Yeah.
It's really cool to see.
Yeah. I loved when LeVar Burton and Gates McFadden were on stage together, and LeVar was just essentially going into character at times and just acting like awkward little Geordi, and it was so awesome. And he even referred to himself as Geordi on stage as well. It was hilarious. One of the fans asked a question about who Geordi would be romantically involved with. And his response, like, he just kind of pauses and he's like, well, someone alive, someone breathing. And then he just kind of stops and he's like, yeah, Geordi's kind of a creeper.
That's awesome. That explains his holodeck girlfriend, right?
Yeah, it was just so much fun. And then it was hilarious because Gates McFadden and LeVar Burton were on stage together talking before Jonathan Frakes, Brent Spiner, and oh god, what's her name that plays Troy?
Marina.
Yeah. Before those three had gone on stage, and they were like back to back. And
notice the two guys got that one, by the way.
Yeah, you know. But LeVar and Gates are just chatting away, and then Jonathan Frakes just comes running out on stage and like attacks both of them and just runs off the stage, and you're like, okay, well, there's Jonathan Frakes. And then like 5 minutes later, Brent Spiner is like walking across the back of the stage reading a magazine, like just casually walks across the stage. It was just very amusing, like these little unplanned things. You could tell that they were having just as much fun as we were having. It was great.
That's awesome.
And yeah, that next panel with those three, with Brent Spiner and Jonathan Frakes especially, were just like a competition between the two of their egos, I think, which was hilarious. They kept asking like fan questions. They kept just saying, no, that's a terrible question, if it didn't have anything to do with their character. It was really funny.
Well, one of the big part of conventions is the dealer's room. So did you guys buy anything in the dealer's room?
Oh, I would be broke. Are you kidding me?
You know what? I didn't buy anything there, but the one thing that we saw there, we actually, Dave and I went on ahead and bought a pair of these jumping jammers. They're like onesies for adults.
Yep.
Oh my god, you got those.
Star Trek outfit. So we bought one for a friend of ours that's going through chemo right now, and so he can wear it when he's, you know, going through the process. And he was there with us one day, and he saw them, and he was like, oh, that would be great for, you know, when I'm doing the chemo. And so we decided to get him a pair.
That's awesome.
Yeah, footed pajamas for grown-ups.
Yeah, and they're all pretty.
Okay,
nice. Please tell me they got the back flap.
I'm not going to lie. I have a pair of footy pajamas.
I do too.
They're
actually
so comfy.
But are they the Hobbit or are they Star Trek?
They're just pink.
Mine are Mickey Mouse ones.
Oh, hey.
It's okay, guys. Just pretend Marty's not there.
They usually do.
That's what we all do.
It was a gift for Christmas. Leave me alone.
So was mine. Sure. But I asked for it because they're awesome.
I didn't ask for them.
Well, do you guys have a favorite piece of Star Trek merchandise that you have?
I do.
Go back ahead, Dave.
Back in 1984, maybe, Majel Barrett had I can't remember, Lincoln Enterprises, I think it was. They sold Star Trek memorabilia. And I bought a Star Trek communicator. And it was $60, which was overpriced. And I was young, and I spent a lot of money on it. And I get it. And it was kind of crappy, and I was kind of disappointed. And, you know, it just sat around. But, I mean, I've had that since I was since I was a kid, and it's become that and my Gene Roddenberry autograph. I met him at the convention when I was 15. So,
oh wow,
those two things are super important.
You know what that means, Dave?
I'm a nerd.
You're old.
Oh yeah.
Wow.
Thanks.
Well, you're
thanks,
the one. You're the youngest one here, Rachel. So we're all old.
Yeah, I am.
She's Amy and Dave are actually my
daughter at the convention.
Yes.
And Dave, your parents.
They were my parents in Vegas.
Which looked a little awkward at times, I think.
Well, Aaron was my
not the best parents. Parents.
Oh, those pictures didn't get posted.
No.
Aaron still looks like he's 12.
Aren't you?
No. Yeah, honestly, I think I thought I would, older than
that's
you.
The only reason I agreed to do this.
Wait a minute.
He was just to get a young mind float on it.
If he shaves, though, he could just blend in with those kids he works with, right?
That's true. Mm-hmm. That's very true. And I'm short, so if I sit next to them.
Can I tell you, I worked with he was one of my kids in my program when I was a teenager, and he still looks exactly the same. Same height,
just with some facial hair.
Yeah.
Yeah, facial hair.
It only took you, what, 3 weeks to grow that?
No, not at all. So, Rachel, do you have a favorite?
I think she just showed it a second ago.
Oh, she
did? We just
I did. Yeah, I have my communicator that I just pulled off the shelf.
You have your.
Yeah, did you see it? Did you not?
Yeah, I saw it.
Okay. I didn't see it.
You didn't see it?
I think I blinked and I missed it.
That was a Voyager version, right?
Oh, yeah, okay.
Oh, nice.
No, I have a lot of collectible stuff. I've got like some of the glasses that they've got from the new movies and things like that. Like there's some really cool stuff. One thing that I did see in Vegas that I really enjoyed, you know those stupid stick figure families that people put on the back of their cars that just make you want to like slam into their car just because you, like they should not have those there. They had like little Star Trek families. Wow. And they even had, like, if you had pets, they had, like, you could get, like, little tribbles.
Oh my god! if you have those, you probably shouldn't have kids.
Well, see, like, for me, it would just be like, you know, the Starfleet girl and then a bunch of tribbles, but
the crazy tribble lady.
They just
you've
keep
got 40 tribbles.
I'd leave my car in the parking lot, and then suddenly there'd be 13 more tribbles across my car.
People, I thought that please spay and neuter your tribbles.
Yes.
I thought that was like a funny little knickknack. Like, I probably wouldn't want to run someone off the road if they had that on their car.
And Amy?
You know, I hate to say it, but I'm not much of a memorabilia collector.
If you like skateboards.
Yeah. I build things.
She's going to build the Enterprise next.
It's okay because Amy can make really great sounds.
I can make what?
really sounds? Great sounds. She doesn't need to collect anything else.
What did Pluto sound like? Yeah, there we go. Slow it down and add an echo and.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. Where am I?
Transported the magic of sound.
And if it's, you know, not too out of place to mention one of my favorite things that I had as a kid. It's not Star Trek related though. It's Star Wars related.
Get out of here. Wrong podcast.
I'm a Wars and Trek fan too. No.
So. I had a remote control R2-D2 that I absolutely adored.
Oh,
that was my
awesome.
Thing. I was in love with R2-D2, I think.
That explains so much.
Do you all remember the Erectusets?
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Are we all old enough to remember? Do you remember?
I'm not. Are you
okay.
kidding me?
Do you remember them?
Yeah, I've had.
Okay.
I had,
an R2-D2 Erector set.
Oh,
that's awesome.
That was motorized. Yeah, my parents put it together one Christmas, got it all ready for me. Oh, Santa, and it ready, and I took it apart by the time New Year's came. I like taking things apart.
And
it did you put
never
it back together?
No, we put it back together. But
really,
who's
five
we? More times.
Who is we?
My mother and father swearing at each other for like hours. Why do we buy this damn thing?
Well, that's
awesome. I do have a Star Trek T-shirt. So, you know,
my favorite Star Wars memorabilia was the I had the storybook record of Star Wars.
Yeah,
and man, I played that thing. I could probably still recite both sides right now. With narration and everything. but it got all destroyed, and I don't know where it is, but one of my friends that I used to work with, he found one. He wasn't a Star Wars fan. He's like, hey, I know you like this stuff. Do you want this? He's like, oh my God, yes, I want this. It's like perfect condition.
I want to change my answer. That's awesome. My favorite Star Trek memorabilia from the con would definitely be my shirt with Dave's face on it.
Oh, yeah. Oh.
You know, I might have to change
that?
Mine, too.
No.
You didn't see my Dave's face T-shirt. Oh God, do I have photos of that?
Well, I took the photos of you guys when Dave was signing it.
It's not as bad as it sounds.
Let's see if I can find. Oh, here's the picture of me and Dave together. If you can kind of see it.
Yeah, we can see it.
Yeah.
It says I Heart Sci-Fi Commons on there. Best shirt ever.
Awesome. Oh, so how did you come up with the name Sci-Fi Commons?
You know, when I first started, when I first started Twitter, I was sci-fi_core, and then
he beat up a hobo and his Twitter name.
And everything that you know we were about was like Creative Commons and sharing and building community and Sci-Fi Commons just kind of came out of that. And, you know, fortunately it was available and, you know, so it really is just a extension of, you know, wanting science fiction to be more of a community thing and rather than a business and sharing and, you know, hopefully the commons will become, you know, a company that produces entertainment that we share with anybody who wants to listen or participate.
You want to tell them how we?
No, I want you to tell.
How we met.
You just pulled that answer straight out of your ass, didn't you, Dave?
No, that's. I mean, I pulled it out of my butt, but that's really.
I saw
it.
That's what he's been sitting on. No.
Well,
you're an inch taller. No.
But no, Amy's got a great story about how we met.
So I work with this, or I ride the bus with this guy who works for the Department of Planning and Development at the City of Seattle, and I also work for the City of Seattle. And one day on the bus, he knew that I was into the new show, Terra Nova. And so one day he sits next to me on the bus, and he's like, no, this weird guy called in to DPD and wanted to know if there was anybody that could maybe help him with setting up some plans, you know, for the colony in that series that you like to watch. I was like, oh yeah, you mean Terra Nova? And he was like, yeah. And he was like, you know, you should, you know, find out if you can connect with this guy. And I was like, you know, that's a great idea. Can you find out for me, you know, if you could get his Twitter address or whatever? And so the next day, Dave, the other guy, Dave, not Dave, who's on the show today, but my buddy Dave gets back to me and says, this is his Twitter address, you know? And so I actually just contacted Dave out of the blue and said, hey, I hear you were, like, interested in doing this kind of crazy thing with DPD regarding Terra Nova. You know, that sounds cool. Want to meet?
And the rest is history. I mean, yeah. Amy and I are, I would say, best friends, good friends, very good friends. Yeah, and we met through Twitter.
And like-minded interests, you know, Dave told me his plan for Sci-Fi Commons, was it been a couple of years now?
It has. Yeah.
A couple of years ago, over beer, sat at a pub, and said, do you want to play? And I was like, oh, heck yeah, I want to play. Let's get this thing going. So
I couldn't have done it without her.
You probably couldn't have.
No, I couldn't.
Amy's
have.
Amazing.
She is.
Amy's the real brains behind the operation.
And she can talk better than I can,
and the
too.
Sounds, too.
No. So, yeah, hopefully we'll have a lot more crazy, wild stuff coming out in the next few months that y'all can listen to and, you know.
So
or
will
not
you
listen to.
Will you be focusing on, you know, only on audio, or will you?
No, this is just, well, can I answer this, Dave?
Of course.
Okay. So this is actually just a start for us. Both Dave and I have series that we're kind of working on in the background that we eventually want to do. And so I'm still working on the screenplay for my series and, you know, Dave's series, which we're going to start working on next, the Star Wars Frontier series. We decided to start that in the audio play format because Dylan McKay was so much fun to work on that it seemed to make sense to do that kind of progression. And then eventually, you know, maybe that'll end up becoming something other than just an audio play, which we hope it will progress that direction. Yeah.
Honestly, it seems like the a great way to do, and we don't have any experience with this. This just seems like a really good idea. You know, we'd like to get to video and film, but starting out doing audio, you know, you're working out a lot of the stories, a lot of the sound effects, the feel of the whole thing, and then, you know, on the way to video, you'd want to storyboard it. So the idea of doing graphic novels or stories with illustrations, you know, kind of is just a path to that. And they all have such different audiences. I don't really feel like it's going to be that difficult to go from like an audiobook to a video. You know, mm-hmm. A lot of people either won't care or they wouldn't have heard the audiobook if they're watching the video.
I think it'd be really cool if you expanded to that.
It would
and
be
you should
so
also
much fun.
Name the character. Yes. Maybe I would listen if you named a character after me.
Done.
It better be Princess Rachel. That's all I'm gonna say. We all know that's my real name.
I won't guarantee how long she'll live.
I wouldn't have asked for a character to be named. I would have liked to have been in it.
Yeah, well, I tried that, but Dave hates me.
It seems that really it does. Yeah.
Well, I would love to see what you guys come up with in the future. I'm you definitely earned a fan with Dylan McCabe.
Oh, thank you.
And I know I'll like it. I just haven't had any time.
Who came up with the name?
Oh, that was Dayton Ward. He changed all the characters around. I loved what he did. You know, Space Marshal Dylan McCabe. I mean, that just sounds like a, you know, 1930s radio hero. Mm-hmm. And his sidekick Jax. I mean, great name, Jacqueline Blake, but she goes by Jax. Empress Entropia. Entropia came out through Twitter. We were joking around with names. A lot of the things that we try to include, I don't know how much actually made it into the show, but, you know, like naming the weapons, naming the ship, mm-hmm. you know, stuff like that is, you know, I want as much contribution as we can get, because, I mean, it's about community and it's about just having fun. And I just want people to play. Can
exactly.
you come out and play with me, please? I just want to play. I'm having a midlife crisis.
We both are.
And you still wouldn't
I'm
get that tattoo
that
with me.
My wife told me I couldn't.
You got a tattoo anyways. I'm surprised you haven't found it yet.
I tried to convince him to get a motorcycle, but, you know, he's not falling for that yet.
I'd rather have a camera.
Yeah, we need the cameras first.
Black magic.
That'll be next.
See, and that is something that we'd like to do is buy some equipment that we can use to make more entertainment, and also, you know, the filmmakers around the area help them, you know, use it for their own projects. I mean, it's we just want to help people be brilliant.
So when is there going to be a Space Marshal Dylan McCabe Las Vegas convention?
Next year.
Oh, 2014.
We'll include that in the lineup for our counter convention that will hold in the hotel room.
We're all invited. We're having a counter convention next year.
We need a bigger suite. We haven't come up with a good name for it yet. We need an entire hotel. That's what we really need. We'll stay at the Gold Coast.
That's funny.
Or we'll just get a couple suites right next to each other or something.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Adjoining suites.
Adjoining suites.
Yeah.
Everybody can just like bring a sleeping bag and we could all crash there.
Is there a thing like, can we just all get a floor? Like, can you rent a floor of a hotel?
I can't.
I don't know anybody who would be able to afford that.
Yeah.
I'm sure it's possible. Howard Hughes did it.
If you got a black American Express card that's metal, you can do it.
Oh, it's going to be a party next year, though.
Yeah.
You guys, join us.
Eric, on, are you showing
I've got two conventions next year. I don't know if I'll be able to make.
What
blah,
do you want
blah,
to?
Blah, blah.
We keep trying to get him to go.
What conventions are you?
I'm going to go to New York Toy Fair next year, and I'm also going to the fourth Power Morphicon convention in Pasadena, which is a Power Rangers convention.
Oh, fuck.
It'd be hard to find.
That'd be cool.
Yeah,
everybody cosplaying, how would you tell people apart?
I know there's going to be so many different costumes.
Red Rangers,
the helmets, and
oh, the Red Ranger,
yeah,
and the Red Ranger,
and the Red Ranger, and the Red Ranger. Well, that could happen in Star Trek too. The red, shirt, the red shirt, the red shirt, the red shirt. Dead, he's dead. He's dead.
Zombie red shirt.
Yep.
Borg.
You know, Eric, I've heard when you want to have a kick-ass convention, you go to Pasadena.
Well,
I'd rather go to Las Vegas. I'm sorry.
No, I would love to go to Vegas.
So Aaron and I are going to fly out there. We're going to tell our significant others that we're on a business trip. Sure.
What was the excuse for the beginning of the Hangover? Like whatever that was, just use it.
You realize I've never seen that movie.
Oh.
Really?
I think you should.
I've seen parts, but not the whole thing.
I've seen parts of Hangover 1. I love Hangover 2. I watch Hangover 2 whenever it comes on. I'll watch it from like wherever it is until the end. It's just idiotic.
I've never seen the second or third one, just the first. Like maybe once or twice.
But that's what Star Trek Las Vegas is like.
We think.
We've been told. And
nobody's got the tattoo on the face.
I was thinking about getting a temporary tattoo of Chakotay's thing.
Oh my god! You could.
Oh
totally
my god! My face.
Well, you could also.
Or if we just put one on you while you're sleeping.
You could surgically implant metal around your eye, like Seven of Nine.
Please, next year, can I paint that on your face?
No, yes. I think when he's passed out, I'm gonna put that on his face.
And then he can stand outside the tattoo parlor screaming, "No! What happened to me?"
Wow!
What happened last night?
Gender. No, just kidding.
A lot of time there was. It was really cool with the like Twitter meetups that we did at down at the Masquerade Bar, and I vaguely remember Thursday night doing something along those lines before I got put to bed. But like, it was really cool to actually interact and meet. Like, meeting Dave was really awesome, and I don't think I'd ever would have met Amy otherwise. And I made a lot of really cool friends just from going to Vegas. People that I'm definitely going to stay in contact with.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Like Scotty and his daughter, Katie.
Yeah.
They are sweethearts. I love them. Like, just so many people that I wouldn't have known otherwise that are just awesome people in my life now.
Yeah, I'll double that.
Triple that.
Meeting people on Twitter, you know, you get to meet people that have common interests. And then you go to Vegas and meet them face to face. It's like, oh, my gosh. You know, you feel like you've known them forever.
Yeah, like you and I clicked like instantly.
Instantly.
We hit it off like right away. I think everybody that I hit it off with right away. It's just like, wow.
You have history going in.
Yeah.
Well, and again, that whole thing with the conventions, I mean, like you said earlier, I think people just accept more people at them.
Yeah.
Yeah, like I think you go in knowing that that's what you're there for. You're there to interact with other fans. And I think I stood and talked for maybe 20 minutes with this adorable little family that I had, like the mom had like made costumes for their kids and everything.
Oh, they were awesome.
That's cool.
They were like really great. Yeah, as I was pretending to be sober with this like 4-year-old girl.
A 4-year-old could tell you you weren't.
She could tell something wasn't right.
The mother had just done a bang-up job putting these costumes together for her kids. It was just so awesome to see them.
Yeah.
And the kids were having so much fun.
Yeah, I loved seeing parents there with their kids, especially when the kids were, like, super into it. You're like, you are doing something right here. Yeah, I mean, and even with all the drinking, it's definitely, like, a family-friendly environment still.
Cancun for fun, for families.
Maybe not entirely family-friendly.
As long as you're not in room 1017.
That's right.
When I gotta find out what this 1017.
When I hear 1017, it reminds me of the original series where they had a Constitution class ship and they
1017
and they moved the numbers around, even though the Constitution class ship was supposed to be
1700 through.
And then
yeah,
I don't know.
It's called Hollywood likes to save money.
Well, they just bought a model and used the numbers from the model. In different orders. That's how they did that.
Well, then I guess it was kind of fortuitous that we ended up with the room number that we did, Dave.
I think it helped.
My fear, if we go to Vegas, you know, even if Eric does or doesn't go, and whisses out. Anyways, whether he goes or not, Aaron's going to sit up in the room and Twitter everything and not be downstairs.
We were Twittering everything anyways.
I know
that's what we did the whole time.
Is that what you kids call it now?
You know, if you guys hang out with us, you're not going to be stuck in the room the whole time because we'll be dragging you with us everywhere.
Yeah. Good.
Dragging you to our room.
Yeah. There's so much cool stuff. Like you can just wander
at the masquerade bar.
You can just wander around and just get lost in like all of the coolness. Like there's always something to do. And like if there's nothing to do, you go drink in your hotel room until there is something to do. It was just a blast. And you can walk around in the vendors room and just talk to people. So many different people are there. Small plug for Trek Radio. Those people were so awesome. Totally love them. Really nice people.
Tell them what they did.
With their setup?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, they had the bridge of the Enterprise set up there. And were they taking donations to get pictures, I think, on the bridge? Or you could just go up and take a picture without.
Yeah, you could just go up.
But, like, you just go up and you can just take a picture on the bridge. And it looks exactly like it's perfect model bridge. Mm. And a lot of the people's pictures that they have on there are, like, really cool looking. I believe that was where that one guy proposed to his girlfriend.
That's right.
It was right there.
There's
on the bridge.
There was a proposal there.
There was a proposal there. It was really cool. Yeah, those Trek Radio guys are really awesome. And, like, they're not a podcast or anything, so I'm not, like, plugging another podcast on your podcast right now. They're actually, like, radio. But
no
like,
worries.
They were definitely some of my favorite people to actually meet and interact with, and they did a whole lot there. The bridge is definitely the coolest. I didn't get a picture on the bridge. David, did you get a picture?
Yeah, we did.
Dave and I and our other friends sleeping on the bridge.
Oh, yeah, I did see that. That was hilarious. I must have been actually sleeping when that happened.
So this was the Enterprise D bridge?
It was. They had created a mock-up of the bridge for some display that was going on in London and Germany years ago. And when it was done, they just kind of left it out, and it was garbage. They were going to throw it away, and these people rescued it and did a fundraiser to have it restored. And they've restored most of it, and some of the pieces from the Las Vegas experience, they've taken some of those and included it. Yeah. And it's, you know, what they had there, I guess they've got the whole bridge, but what they had at the convention was the, you know, the captain's chair, the two seats beside, and then the astrogator and navigator, whatever the two are.
What's that, an astrogator?
It's showing my age, like an old
An astrogator.
That's what Heinlein used to call it.
The helm and the ops.
There we go. And they just had it open. People could walk in and sit down and take their pictures. It was very cool.
That sounds cool.
Have
any of you been to Star Trek The Experience when it was there?
Yeah, once. And I guess the time makes a big difference. We went towards the end of it.
Yeah.
But still, you know, got to go in and go through the story and be on the bridge when the Klingons attacked. And it was a lot of fun.
I'm just sad they don't have one of those now.
I know.
It's so needed.
Definitely. I've never been, unfortunately.
I have a friend who went once, and I've never been there either, so.
I dragged my wife to it.
I'm a sheltered man.
But that sucked. Sorry, Dave's wife, if you're listening.
I'm
sure you're a lovely lady.
Yeah, I kind of nerded out.
So is she not a Star Trek fan?
She is kind of now, but in the early days. She claims that I tricked her, that she didn't realize I was a nerd until we got married. But after we got married, we watched Next Generation together a lot, mm-hmm. and Deep Space mm-hmm. Nine, and she got into, you know, Battlestar Galactica with me, and so she can hold her own.
That's good.
She's a good woman.
She is. Sounds it. Yes.
Love you, Dave's wife.
Well, Aaron?
Yes.
I don't know if we'll get the significant others there.
You don't want them there. Trust me. Don't tell anybody.
Just leave your wives at home.
They don't listen to the podcast anyway, so it's fine.
You want that?
What, your wife listens to the podcast?
Yeah.
Oh, really?
I'm just kidding.
Bring your wife. Definitely bring your wife.
From the show.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Interesting. Well, I'm glad she listens.
Yes. I'm not.
Edit that out.
He'll leave it in just for fun.
I will.
There goes that trip.
Well, sorry we won't be seeing you in Vegas, Marty.
Oh, no, you might.
Will you bring Chris?
Yeah, I'd probably bring her just to be in Vegas, but she wouldn't go to the convention. She's a Star Wars fan, not mm-hmm. a Star Trek fan. We go to Disney every year just to go to Star Wars weekend.
I
want
to go to that so bad. I've never been.
We have a timeshare down there that we use in Disney, and we go every year after our parade. We put on a parade in Dorchester here. So
is it on the Disney property so you can go?
Yes, it's
the
at
closing
the
hours?
Hollywood store,
yes!
Hollywood Studios.
I love that.
They do special early openings. They do like events and things like that. This year they had, believe it or not, Billy Dee Williams.
Wow.
That's awesome.
In full uniform. He
oh,
was in full
awesome.
Costume.
That is so
that's cool.
He didn't look too good, but you know, it is what it is. But and they open up like an extra section of the park mm-hmm. just to put like this memorabilia stand that they call Darth Malls.
That's awesome.
Darth Small. And with them, what I wish they did with Star Trek mm-hmm. is do it like that. Somebody have some kind of thing like that. Disney could do a good thing with that.
Yeah. I
think we could like hope for that soon though with the new Star Trek reboots and stuff. I think that we might be headed towards something like that. Like there's companies are investing in those commercials and stuff mm-hmm. that are Star Trek related. So we're heading in the right direction. We'll get something cool.
Well, Lucas sold off his company.
Yeah.
But Star Trek, you're dealing with two different companies.
I know.
You know, it's so weird. I think if they were one company, we'd probably be, you know, we might have something like
that.
We're
there by now.
It's so weird having it. So weird having it split.
We can always hope, you know.
If Star Trek has taught me one thing, it's to be optimistic about the future.
Mm-hmm. That's true. So cute.
You see that asteroid? What's that big thing in the
Kirk'll
sky?
Kirk'll stop it.
Of course. Well, I think we should probably wrap up the podcast here. So, I mean, thank you guys for coming and spending time with us.
I am so sorry.
That just didn't sound right. Thank you for coming. I'm sorry.
I was about ready to say thank you for having us on.
No, I'm sorry that you had to put up with this.
I apologize profusely. No, it was wonderful. Thanks for having me.
It's been a ton of fun. I always love hanging out with you guys.
Oh, thank you.
Oh, that's so nice.
Definitely. Thanks.
I didn't snore through this one.
Yeah.
And for any of your other projects, I mean, if you would like to come on and promote those on the show, we'd love to have you on.
That would be fun.
And any we'll chance? See you in Vegas next year.
Yes.
Yeah, you better. That'd be great.
And I promise I'll hit record when we do it. So, yeah, until next time.
Peace out.
Peace Bye, out. Guys. Live long and prosper.
See you.
Thanks, guys.
Bye, guys.
Adios.
So that interview was awesome. I'm really glad they sat down with us. So next up is the next section of the show, the subspace channels.
Hailing frequencies open, Captain.
So this week's question was actually written by Eric Berry.
I do tend to write things.
Yes.
Stuff.
So what Star Trek convention experiences have you had? So starting with Twitter,
yep.
We have at Eric J. Dewey, who is the host, well, a co-host of the Socially Awkward Studios podcast and Her Majesty's Secret podcast. And, mm-hmm. Oh, gee, there's another one, too.
And he's like,
Neuroscience.
Yeah. He's the kind of the matriarch of the four-eyed, or patriarch of the four-eyed radio network. Why is he matriarch? No, he's the patriarch, the king of the four-eyed radio network.
Right.
He's the leader.
So he's a good guy. And,
he's a good guy.
He was kind enough
well,
to...
Well, he did a supplemental episode.
Yeah.
That's true. He did a supplemental episode with us.
Yesterday's Enterprise. Check it out.
Yep. Yesterday's Enterprise, and he also did a small audio review or answer to a question in another episode.
That was an episode before I joined up, so...
Yeah, it was a while ago. I can't remember exactly.
Well, I think episode 5 or 6.
Yeah, and... Something along there. Something like that, and he answered. But he's, you know, definitely a good friend of the show. He's the one that basically puts our show out on the interwebs for people.
So you have him to thank, and that's why we're reading his answer first.
Yes. So he says,
and you quote.
I went to one when I was 10 or 11. My favorite memory was meeting Marina Sirtis and my mom buying me a toy phaser, which was a big deal because I wasn't allowed any toy weapons before.
That's a very good memory.
Yeah.
Give a kid a weapon, he'll be very happy.
Yeah.
What? That noise?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's my chair.
Yeah, I know.
Oh.
I know it's a chair. So, yeah. So, she... I actually wouldn't mind meeting...
Marina Sirtis.
Troy. Yeah.
Hello.
Yeah. Next, we have at Jaffa Star, who says, I went to Star Trek London, but my thoughts would take too long to tweet. I'd go again, though, and do things much differently.
So well, first of all, you can't tweet long thoughts.
You cannot. You would have to break them up into multiple tweets.
In the Twitter sphere.
Yeah, because remember, there's a limit of 140 characters that you have to play with. But I hope she had a good time. I don't know. This sounds kind of negative. But I hope she had a good time, and I hope if she goes again to a Star Trek convention that she has a better time.
I think people's first Star Trek convention experience is always... you know, a very unique thing. I mean, you always learn what to do for these different conventions, and Star Trek ones are pretty different from some of the other ones I've been to.
I see. I personally have never been to one.
Oh, Aaron, what is going
I've
on?
I've been to one, that's it. Aaron, you and I have to go to one.
Yeah.
I've
but you don't leave your house.
I've been to two of them. Well, one was an actual official Star Trek creation convention. Actually, they both were. And they were just a lot of fun. But they both happened when I was, like, a teenager.
Mm-hmm.
So I would like to go to one as an adult and probably have a much better time.
Yeah. Yeah, being an adult would
probably help things significantly.
Yeah. Yeah. Next, from Facebook, we have Tim.
Tim K. My friend.
Well, I went to Star Trek Vegas this year. It was my first Star Trek convention since high school. I don't even know where to begin on the pure awesomeness that it was. But to pick a single memory, I have to say, helping to beat the Guinness World Record for most people in Star Trek costumes in one place was pretty fun. Especially since Terry Farrell was the last person counted in our record. She wore an original series red dress like she wore in the Trials and Tribulations episode of Deep Space Nine. Though seeing Susie Plaxton get done up in full makeup for her TNG character, the Klingon, Kalar, was also immensely cool. And that sounds pretty awesome.
That sounds amazing. Yeah. And she also played one of my favorite characters in Enterprise. She was the very tall female Andorian.
Oh, really?
In a couple episodes. Hmm. So, yeah, pretty sweet. I would love to go to Star Trek Las Vegas. It sounds like a lot of fun.
Yeah, and we just listened to our guests talk about that, and they seem to have a great time.
Yeah.
Aren't they great?
So that's it for our...
Remember that pot he was talking about just in the middle?
With that thing. Oh, yeah, that was amazing.
That whole description was just...
Oh, it blew me away in its comedic value and epicness.
Oh, yeah, totally. So that's it for the subspace channels this week.
Close it up, sir.
Beep, bop, boop.
Beep, boop, boop. Close it up.
So, now for the final part of the show. Do you know what puts my quantum state into flux?
No, but I think we're about to find out.
Yes, you are. The transporter is a miraculous device created to convert matter into energy and beam it to another location. The transporter has been a plot device in several episodes of every series, but sometimes is used to an extreme as an easy fix for a situation. We've seen the transporter restore old patterns to cure diseases, such as when Dr. Pulaski was aging due to the events in the episode Unnatural Selection. I know in past episodes I've mentioned this, but why isn't the transporter used more often in medical situations? It seems to be able to even reverse the aging process.
Yes, that is a good point. There's always a couple Star Trek technologies that always seem to be a miracle plot device, get out of jail free card when the time arises. Mm-hmm. I know the deflector dish
mm-hmm. That's used a lot too. Yeah.
A lot. Yeah. And so, yeah, the transporter is just one of those things like, yeah, how are we going to get ourselves out of this one? Mm. Aha. And then we'll never use it again for that purpose ever.
Yeah, exactly. You can't forget the anti-tachyons. What was that? Was it anti-tachyons?
Yeah, anti-tachyons. So I'm not a big fan of using the transporter for other weird get out of jail free card type of things. So
right. it's also been a plot thing used for plot for keeping people alive way past.
Oh, like
Scotty.
Scotty, yeah, and put into suspended animation.
Yeah, stasis, basically.
Yeah.
So why would you use stasis if you could just build one of those and keep them in constant stasis?
Well, because as we've seen, if the pattern degrades, then they die. Because there was a second person in the transporter in the episode Relics, but his pattern was too far gone. So he wasn't able to materialize.
Unfortunately, he was wearing a red shirt, so...
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, and in that episode, Unnatural Selection, I haven't watched it in a while, but Dr. Pulaski, they used a follicle from her hairbrush for her original DNA pattern.
Hmm.
But wouldn't she still have the same DNA no matter what...
Yeah, it's not like aging degrades your DNA.
It does.
That's actually that is a true thing. Your DNA does get degraded as the older you get.
Well, oh, well then.
Yeah. See, I have to look it up, but I know I've heard that from people in the medical field before. Out of the aging process is that your DNA, you're wearing out.
Mm-hmm. Well, then I can see that. If they took a fresh sample, such as a hair follicle, and were able to get the base DNA at the time, I can see that happening, I guess. But
I guess, but that seems like a stretch.
It's all a stretch.
It's obviously a stretch. The whole concept of the transport is a stretch. But being able to take this hair follicle, who knows how long this hair follicle has been lying around, right? And then...
You gave me Ron Jeremy's, no, just kidding.
And then use it to restore her to her normal chronological age.
Yeah.
Seems a bit far-fetched.
Yeah.
So.
It's the wonderful magic of Star Trek technology.
Yeah.
I mean, you know what I find far-fetched? All of Star Trek.
But that's okay. Yeah.
So that's all we have this week for our show. Thank you all for listening. Until next time, I'm Aaron.
I'm Marty.
And I'm Eric.
And we'll talk to you later. It's trekking time.
It's trekking time.
You have been listening to the Starfleet Escape podcast on the Four-Eyed Radio Network, where you can catch a new episode every other Monday. You can find us on the web at sfescapepod.com. Follow us on Twitter at sfescapepod. Like us on facebook.com/sfescapepod. And add us to your circle on Google+ by going to google.sfescapepod.com.
This has been a proud production of the Four Eyed Radio Network. Check out more shows on 4eyedradio.com. Beam me up, Scotty.